Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We're back here at our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. No, Herb's not with me, and Jeff Palermo left. He's going to do the McNeese State Lamar game in Lake Charles, so I'll be handling from 4 to 5 by myself. And, man, it's always a great time here at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. They got great food and drink specials here. And also, if you don't have a ticket to the game, you want to watch it and get you a little grub for the night, hey, man, nothing better than Acme Oyster House. Also, we want to thank our presenting sponsor, Map Construction. Map Built, Build Beyond. Always great to team up with Matt, and they give us all this time coverage-wise to bring you the pregame show. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, he is the founder and CEO of RU Serious Sports Network, covering the LSU Tigers and also the Southeast Conference, Blake Ruffino. Blake, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Great to be here, Mike. Thanks for having me.
Blake, man, ain't nothing happened this week LSU-wise. It's just been a slow week, and it's one of those type of deals. But, man, the bombshell that hit Thursday, and you and I have talked about this, that there had been rumors now for weeks of the possibility with Bryce Underwood and Michigan make him, you know, one of them godfather offers that you can't refuse. But I think this kind of came like the lightning strike here, and I think for members of the LSU coaching staff, it came to a lightning strike, too. That's just part of the football world we live in, sports world we live in. Well, money talks and everything else sort of walks. People don't want to believe that, and they want to blame it on what's happened, you know, losing three straight and Brian Kelly chewing out players. Come on, ain't got nothing to do with that. This is all about cash. This is all about money. And think about if you in that situation – and you a 17, 18-year-old young man, and you the parents of that 17, 18-year-old man in your own state, you're not turning that deal down.
No, Mike. I mean, the simple nature is that you could put that in a small mutual fund and live off their interest the rest of your life. I mean, this isn't like a couple hundred thousand dollars that we're talking about here, right? I mean, this is multi-million dollar deals. I mean, Mike, the truth is, I mean, the kid's going to make somewhere from $35,000 to $45,000 a day during the season. So, I mean, you get to a place where, I mean, Mike, now with TV revenue share, that's not accompanied into it. So, I mean, this kid, I mean, is he worth it? Probably. I mean, like, I mean, Mike, if you think he's Jaden Daniels or if he's the next generational quarterback, you don't put a price tag on it, right? I mean, and they need a quarterback. So, you know, Mike, 2 weeks ago, we had a full-blown show for Bryce Underwood and talked about it after the Alabama loss. And my thought was simple. Like, listen, I have kids. I know a lot of our listeners have kids. If someone offers you that form of money, Mike, there's a very small chance they turn it down, right? And I know LSU was still there and doing some things too. But, I mean, at some point it was always going to come down to what it came down to. I mean, I don't hate the kid or the family. I mean, I don't even really blame LSU. Mike, if we're being honest, I mean, at some point the money was going to overwhelm, and there it is. But, Mike, I will say this, though. I mean, when it comes to recruiting, I know you and I have spoken a lot about it. I think from an LSU fan perspective, though, it's tough that you've been in these money recruiting situations and you haven't, from at least a PR standpoint, come away with a win. You know, you watch Indiana today with C.J. West, and him making three tackles at the goal line against Ohio State, and that's the guy that you were after, right? And so I think that I don't think anybody hates the Underwood thing in the sense of that, hey, man, I mean, money is money. But, Mike, I think what's more or less here is that you've lost some of these big recruiting battles when it came down to money. That's been a real problem.
Blake, the other thing, too, is with Jakeem Stewart, I think he's making the trip to Oregon. I know one thing, you ain't got to worry about Phil Knight's check bouncing. And Phil has made it clear that he wants to win a national championship before he passes away. And, you know, Phil's up in his 80s right now, and he's willing to spend, just like with Oracle and Larry Ellison is willing to spend on Michigan. He's willing to spend that and more for Oregon. So you have these guys that with tremendous amounts of money. And I'm not just talking about millions. I'm talking about billions of dollars. And they'll spend it on their school, you know, knowing, hey, you know, I don't know how many more years I got left with this mortal coil. And I think that's been Phil's deal. We've talked to a couple people involved with University of Oregon. They've made it clear that Phil Knight's made it clear to them, hey, whatever it takes, you come to me, and I'll make it work.
Yeah, Mike, I mean, we need a couple of them.
Yeah, right.
You know, I mean, look, Mike, there's a lot of ways to skin the cat. You know, I mean, I was up on Ohio State radio this week, and, you know, they had their collective being run on the radio show three times. Now, I'm not trying to call out LSU here or anybody, but, I mean, Mike, on my show, on your show, on everybody's show, they should be running that. I mean, there's a lot of ways to do this now, but to your point, I mean, you got to figure out a way not to be left behind here. Now, I'm not, you know, look, as much as LSU's had success in the portal with quarterbacks, I think it's difficult to say that you can't have success with a portal quarterback. But, I mean, Mike, the truth is when it comes down to players in your state, I mean, I'm not saying that you give Jakeem Stewart every single thing that he wants, but, I mean, Mike, at this point it's going to be a hard sell, you know, and so now you're going up, like you mentioned, against a team in Oregon who, I mean, I'm not saying the kid's got a blank check, but, I mean, Mike, you can't lose kids like this. That's when stuff starts unraveling. Now, I'll make the, you know, this point. Mike, you've lost out of your state the last 3 years. LSU has lost the top safety in the state all three times, okay? They hit the fourth one, and let's see how that pans out. But you need safety help now as an example. So when you start losing out and you're wondering why, like, hey, man, why aren't we good here? I mean, Mike, that starts becoming a problem. So, look, the kid could be generational in his own right, but I don't, you know, you can't lose those battles. You got to be very competitive.
Overall, and you keep up with this a little closer than I do, is there the potential here that this recruiting class would sort of unravel toward the end? Because they've been number one or two the entire time since they started, you know, kind of collecting everything. Is there a possibility of that?
Well, yeah, Mike, I think that there's a possibility of that. I mean, again, you're 2 weeks out, and teams also start getting desperate. You're not the only desperate one, right? And so when desperation calls, there's issues that start happening. So could it unravel? Yes. Now, Mike, I will say this. If you talk to anybody in that building today, I'm not saying the Bryce Hunter one thing is good at all, because it's not. But it also sent a lot of people in a lot of panic. And, Mike, from some things that I've heard, it's kind of sent some higher-ups and boosters like, all right, man, enough is enough. Now, Mike, I'm just going to call it like I see it. I mean, you can't have a baseball team outspend you in the portal, you know. And so Jay's going to – and I'm not trying to shift, you know, sports on you here, but at the same time, I mean, Mike, we have a pretty good idea of what these kids in high school were making coming to play for LSU baseball. And this is baseball we're talking about now. So, I mean, there comes a part where, you know, you better start figuring some things out. Jay can't have two of the highest paid athletes on campus right now. So, I mean, I think that it could, but Mike, you always used to say a thing that sometimes you have to overspend. I'm not saying you're there yet, but Mike, I don't know if you're not getting a little close.
Because I think we live in this world where, you know, I think about my mom, you know, and things with her money. And I would always tell her, give it away now while you can see it doing good and, you know, maybe bring some happiness to you and that sort of thing. And she was like, oh, Michael, I don't want to talk about that. Fool with that when I'm dead. But I think we have another generation not like that. And they want to see some of their money used in a certain way, if it's to their grandchildren or if it's to a school they really, really like. And so I think we're also entering that era where I think it was a generational thing. I keep my money to the day I close my eyes for good. I think that's not quite the case today, and you can pass the collection.
Oh, 100%. And you better pass it. And, Mike, here's the thing, and to that point, I mean, your return on – everybody worries about return on investment. You know what your return on investment is? It's when Caleb Downs makes a third down stop that wins the football game. You get what I mean? That's your return on investment. When the kid's out there in no man's land, one-on-one, and he makes a tackle and the game's over with, you know, that's your return. It's not monetary, but it's happiness that you're – ultimately buying here.
When you look at this game, man, Blake, it's almost like a trap has been set for you. You've lost three straight. You're not playing with any confidence. Before the season, this looked like a big W for LSU. Now the Commodores come in here. They got nothing to lose. They're an aggressive team. They got a mobile quarterback. And so, man, you're starting to check off all these things. They don't turn the ball over much. Again, LSU's got more talent. I don't think there's any question about that. But are they playing up to their level? And I look at what Clark Lee has done. And he has gotten everything he could out of this football team. Now, last week against South Carolina, you got caught in the buzzsaw. You couldn't get your hand out quick enough because South Carolina, man, they playing some good football right now. But,
yep.
Man, I don't have a good feeling about this game, Blake. I'm going to be honest with you.
No, Mike, I actually picked them to lose this week, and fans were kind of mad. But, Mike, here, you know, the biggest thing that scares me is not the confidence that Vandy plays with. Is that we're 101st on third down conversion rate on defense, and Vandy is 20th offensively. If you can't get off the field against this team who wants to stay on the field and play time of possession like they get against Texas, like they did against Bama, Mike, you're in trouble. I'm being serious. And Diego Pavia, man, that kid plays with more swag than me in junior high with Axe body spray, okay? That kid can play. So you better be ready, man.
You know who he reminds me of? And I told this to Jeff, and this is generational. I got asked during the week about it, and I've watched Diego play a few games, and he reminds me of a kind of latter-day version of what I saw as a kid, Billy Kilmer, a tough guy. That ball come out of his hand. You talk about funky. I mean, none of it is a spiral. It comes out of that every which way but a spiral. He's tough as a runner. He's a better athlete than you might give him credit for, but he's a great leader. He hangs in the pocket. He'll make the big plays when he has to, and he is the straw that turns the drink. And okay, Billy wasn't the greatest passer in the world, but he was a tremendous leader, and he played with confidence, and he was a tough guy, and he got everybody else feeling that way. And I think that's what Pave has done to this football team. He's got them believing in themselves, and, man, LSU has not fared well against these mobile quarterbacks.
At all. And Mike, he leads in rushing. He converts two-thirds of their third downs, which, again, they're 20th in the country in doing. He'll put his head down. Mike, he'll try to run to the outside and beat you with speed. You know, I mean, this kid just plays with nothing but heart. Like you said, it's not pretty necessarily the way that he does it, but regardless if it's pretty or not, it's effective. You know, like he could throw those wobblers like he's Peyton Manning in 2018, but it's not going to matter, or 2016, whatever it was. It's not going to matter when it's effective. Right, I mean, if he's effective like he has been, I mean, Mike, I rewatched that whole Texas game again. I mean, he converted five third downs in the first half. I mean, the kid is special, and just some of the things that he does because he's all heart, man. I think this kid, like, if you treat him like he's just a normal dude at Vandy, then he's going to beat you 9 times out of 10.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. Last question for you, and then I'll let you go. How surprised were you today, Florida? And I'm saying, because I knew that they had some firepower on offense. I knew they could run the football. Herb and I talked about it last week, and even with Montrell, dealing with an injury a big part of the season, they had Ball as the freshman. He came in, did a fantastic job for them. You see the talent in Lagway as a true freshman. But defensively, they were awful. Then all of a sudden last week, man, they get after Nussmeier like no other team has in sacks-wise. And then look what they did to Ole Miss today. That, to me, that two-game stretch, after watching them earlier in the year, Billy Napier's done a fantastic job keeping that team together because, Blake, it could have come apart real fast.
Mike, you hit the nail on the head. I mean, the simple fact that they – and even against Texas. I mean, they got blown out by Texas, Mike, and I'm like, I don't know if this team is getting beat by 40 or if they're getting beat by 7. You could never really tell because of how much effort they have. Mike, I mean, look, we've made as a college football community a lot about Billy Napier, but, man, his team plays with serious heart. If you want to find out how a team feels about a coach, go watch Florida play. I mean, like, they had a crucial third down stop, okay, then force a punt, and then they go down and get 7 and basically what won the game. I mean, that's what you call heart in a team. And you're right, man. Billy, I mean, there's a lot that can go on and you can say about Billy, but, man, I mean, they just play with so much heart, Mike. And look, man, they got some dudes now. They got some dudes that can make you miss, and then they'll run you over. Mike, they're a really good combination of speed and power, too. So, look, man, you got to give them credit. But the biggest thing, too, Mike, is if you're Scott Strickland, like, hey, man, I mean, look, they're starting to come together here, and we're going to let Billy run it. And, look, they've had success here, Mike. You got to – look, they're going bowling. If you were to tell them at the beginning of the season, the way that schedule looked, if they go to a bowl game, I'd call you crazy. But here they are.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. Blake, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon, man. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. And hopefully we'll be talking about a victory, next week, hopefully.
I hope so, too, Mike. Thanks for always having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. That was Blake Ruffino, the founder and CEO of RU Sirius Sports Network. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show from Acme Oyster House here in Baton Rouge right after this break.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Black Friday has officially started at Blinds.com, and the savings are huge. Right now, you can save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Don't wait. These deals are happening right now. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings is a small project with big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. With Blinds.com, there are no long lines or confusing quotes. You shop online without sacrificing quality, style, or service. One of our design experts can help you make the perfect selection on your schedule. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Plus, you get window treatments for your whole home installed for just one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Blinds.com's Black Friday sales event is happening now with our best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide and score premium doorbusters and a free professional measure at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier here by himself because Jeff had to leave. He was doing the McNeese State Lamar game, and Herb had some personal stuff to take care of today. We want to wish him and the family all well where they're at now. And so we're at Acme Oyster House, 3535 Perkins Road here in Baton Rouge. Come on by and visit us. They got a great crowd here. They got super food and drink specials here at Acme. And if you don't have a ticket to the game or if you want to watch it with everybody else, man, come out here. You got a lot of people. You got some great food, drinks, and you can watch all the games, surround sound, TV all around you here at Acme Oyster House. Also, if you're looking for catering needs, they do that too here, man. They really do a fantastic job before LSU games. And also, if you don't want to cook for the holidays and you don't want turkey or ham, give them a call here and they can take care of you seafood wise. They also do catering for events. I'm going to give you some of the scores today. I don't know why this guy texted me. I figured he got coin on this game for Yale and Harvard. And Yale beat Harvard 34-29. So I figured that somebody had a little bit of a wager on that particular game. Illinois, 38-31 over Rutgers. Man, Indiana, they found out. You step in the ring with some of the heavyweight champs, you're going to get knocked out. And they kept it close for a half, but then after that, man, the Buckeyes took it to them 38-15. Iowa beat Maryland 29-13. SMU 33-7 over Virginia. Miami of Florida bounced back after the upset loss to Georgia Tech. They won big today 42-14 over Wake Forest, but the big upset today, Florida 24-17 over Ole Miss, and Ole Miss was a 13-point favorite in that game. 13 points, and man, got to give Billy Napier a tremendous amount of credit for digging himself out of a hole
that the team was in, and he got them believing in himself. Now back-to-back victories, beating LSU and Ole Miss. Also, Boston College, 41-21 over North Carolina. This is early in the first quarter, but University of Louisiana, the Raging Cajuns, have a 7-0 lead over Troy. Louisiana Tech early on fall behind in the second quarter, 14-0, and that was to Arkansas. Penn State, man, at halftime, they are losing to Minnesota. Minnesota with a 19-16 lead at halftime. Michigan in the third quarter, 24-6 over Northwestern. And after Kentucky kept this game fairly close, man, Texas hit the accelerator on them, and it's at halftime right now. Texas with a 24-7 lead over Kentucky. Just starting the third quarter, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State, we've had some people text about that. It's a 21-21 tie. Also a bit of a surprise here. Kansas is leading Colorado at halftime, 23-14. Now, Colorado is like Miami, so to speak. They have walked on that thin line and walked it almost all season long. And, man, they caught the becks right now of Kansas and got a big lead at halftime. Also, Arkansas State with a 21-14 lead over UL Monroe. We'll be back with more of our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Jim Derry will join me from Datitude Podcast. We'll be talking SEC LSU right after this break here on the Big 870 WWL. We're back here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Mike Dettelier rolling this by himself here until 5 o'clock this afternoon. Jeff Palermo had to leave to go call the McNeese State Lamar game, and yet to roll to Lake Charles. So I'm here rolling it by myself, so to speak. On our Oakwood Heart Jewelers talking text line, we have on with us Jim Derry from Datitude Podcast. Jim, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon.
Glad to be here, Mike. Glad to be here.
Jim, before we start talking LSU, surprise today certainly was Florida. Back-to-back wins now. LSU last week and then now Ole Miss. And I knew offensively they had some firepower. They could run the ball well. The offensive line's really good as a run-blocking unit. I think they still have some issues as a pass protector, but Lagway, he's got enough mobility to kind of maneuver his way out of there, and their backs are good with Ball, the freshman, and now they got Dontrell back healthy. But how well they've played defensively the last 2 weeks. This team was awful on defense. And, you know, in a huge game for Ole Miss, and it certainly says something about Billy Napier and him being able to keep this team together. But what does it tell you about Lane Kiffin? Everything was stacked up for him this season. They spent a ton of money in the NIL transfer portal deal to bring in defensive linemen, and their defense is better than I can remember in years. But they still now got three losses, and I don't say they're completely out of it, but, man, they from the outside looking in now.
Well, Mike, I'll tell you, I've been saying for years and people have been laughing at me, but I say Lane Kiffin is the most overrated coach in college football, and I mean it. I mean, I've said it for multiple years now. What has he won that's been a big game? And he proves again when he has to win a game, he can't do it. And so, yeah, he has a couple big wins here and there under his belt, but when he has to win a game, when his Rebels have to win a game, he's not doing it. And so I think, you know, all the LSU fans that are calling for Brian Kelly's head, and I get it, it's not exactly what and what, but I mean, are we screaming for our Ole Miss fans, screaming for Lane Kiffin's head? Because if you feel that way about Brian Kelly, then Ole Miss fans should feel that way about Lane Kiffin, because, you know, and you give Billy Napier a vote of confidence and look what happens in Florida. So I'm just saying, you know, it's college football is crazy right now, but that's what we love about it. And you got to give Billy Napier, you got to give the Gators credit, like you said, for staying together. And I thought their defensive front was outstanding today. I mean, they just got at Jackson Dart. And even when they didn't sack him, they hit him enough to make him so he was offline. And he was Jackson Dart was a mess on that final drive for sure.
Man, all these deep passes, I go underneath on them because I think that's where they have some issues in coverage. Jeff Palermo and I were talking about this, so I'll get your opinion on it. And the SEC has debated for quite some time about a ninth SEC game on the schedule. After seeing the way they cannibalize one another this year, man, I ain't voting for that. I'm going to tell you right now, you can scratch that ninth SEC game.
No, and I think you're going to have a lot of teams, a lot of schools feeling the same way that you're talking about right now. You know, the old show, eight is enough. Dick Van Patten back in the day, I think eight is enough for the SEC because, look, you're right, man. I mean, it's going to be hard enough to make it through an SEC schedule without two losses, no matter who you are. So you're just hurting yourselves. And, you know, one thing Lane Kiffin did get it right about, and I never really thought about it before you get to the 12-team playoff, but there's going to be a lot of teams wondering if the SEC championship game is a good idea because if you got somebody like a Texas that's, you know, that gets in the SEC championship game and you know they're going to the playoff, and then whoever the second team is, they need to win to get into the playoff, you know, you'd have been better off if you don't go to the championship game because you probably would have been in without it. So it's something to think about going forward, and it is definitely interesting to see if it's going to affect the way the SEC and other major conferences think about this going forward.
Before the season started, I think everybody had a W next to this game, LSU Vanderbilt, that you would win it. Man, right now, Jim, I'm not so sure about that because there are some things here that Vanderbilt does very well. One, they got a mobile quarterback, tough guy. I think he's sort of a modern-day version of what I saw as a kid in Billy Kilmer. Okay, none of them passes come out smooth. I mean, it looked like somebody shot it out of the air. I mean, it's floating all over the place. But he's a tough guy. He's smart. He'll run with the football. And I think his toughness and his leadership and his moxie has transformed this team into playing like him. And I think Pave has been such a huge part of Vanderbilt's team right now. They have a veteran secondary, I think a solid offensive line. They don't have a lot of great playmakers. Not a tight end, that's a different story. He's an NFL tight end eventually. Man, LSU right now, I'm not sure which team shows up because they clearly have more talent than Vanderbilt. But who's right now more focused? Who's ready to play more? You might have to side here with Vanderbilt.
You know, I'm going to say this, and look, you know, I've been a Brian Kelly proponent, and I still am, but this might be the most important, and I can't believe I'm saying this about an LSU-Vanderbilt game, but this might be the most important game of his career here at LSU to date, because it's one thing, you lose three in a row, look, that's bad enough, and the vultures are out there looking for your scalp, but if you lose to Vanderbilt and you lose a fourth game, you lose at home on a Saturday night in Tiger Stadium, in Death Valley against Vanderbilt, I don't know if he can survive that, Mike. I really don't. So that's why I think that you're going to see a very focused LSU team tonight. I think that they know what's on the line, not just for this team and this season, but really for this program going forward, because I think if they lose this game, you could have a different future going forward. And so that's why I think you'll see the best of what LSU can bring. But that being said, everything you said about Diego Pavia is true. And not only that, it gives Vanderbilt, they have so much confidence. I mean, they play with, I don't know that I've ever seen a Vanderbilt team play with this much confidence, even when James Franklin was there. So it is going to be an interesting game. And I think you'll know right off which LSU team's going to show up.
Okay, we can kind of cross off the list that they're going to run the ball well. I thought they ran it better against Florida, but some of that had to do with Florida's personnel. They got to protect Garrett Nussmeier better than what they did last week. Now, Florida had more dudes up front than what Vandy's got from a pass rush standpoint, but to give them a chance here and to win this game, they have got to keep Nussmeier clean and give him some opportunities. The worst part about all this, Jim, is that they dink and dunk all the way downfield. They use up all kind of time. They have all kind of plays. Settle for a field goal. You can't punch the ball in. That's the most unusual part of this team with the red zone inefficiency that they have this season.
That, and I think that, you know, so we talked about it last week, but the thing that bothers me most about LSU and what they've been doing is they've been so damn predictable. I mean, you can't just, you know, look, I'm all about running the football, and you got to establish the run, and 100% you need to do that, but you can't just go out there and run it straight up the gut into the teeth of the where they're the strongest on the other side. And that's what they were trying to do against Florida last week on first down. Almost every first down, they just running up the gut, and they were forcing Nussmeier. Now, look, he was coming through on a lot of those third downs, but later in the game he wasn't, because I think Florida knew exactly what LSU was going to do. And so they just can't be predictable. You've got to mix it up. And that's the one big problem I've had with the Tigers this season on offense. Well, obviously other problems than that too, but you just got to be able to mix it up. You got to be able to throw someone first down, and absolutely you got to keep the pocket clean for Nussmeier, like you said.
One of the things I talked to Jeff about Palermo when he was here was that the receivers this year you knew was going to be a step down, okay?
Yeah.
No Malik Nabers, no Brian Thomas Jr., but it's been sort of underwhelming, other than we see Aaron Anderson, who has really emerged as a very good player. You see what teams are doing to Kyren. They sort of bracketing coverage him. Man, Chris Hilton has been a major disappointment for this team when he's in the lineup. C.J. Daniels, I think, is a good player, but I think he's playing hurt. Thomas, you know, you got what you got there. Shelton Sampson, major disappointment. This was a four-star recruit on the verge of a five, and he's done zero at LSU. Man, the development of these receivers has really been slow, or basically they stuck in neutral at this particular point. So I'm not going to blame everything on Nussmeier. You got to get open downfield.
Yeah, and exactly what you said, and I think you got to blame a lot of this. Look, I don't see the heart from these guys. I don't see them trying, fighting hard enough to get open. You mentioned Aaron Anderson. Who was his coach in high school? Bryce Brown is one of the greatest coaches in Louisiana high school right now. And he's a fighter. He's a guy that's going to get himself open. He knows how to run routes. He might not be the biggest guy, but he's going to find a way to get open. I just don't know. I look at these receivers, and they're just kind of, I hate the word lollygagging, but it's almost like that. And they, once they get out of it, you've got to keep them involved in the game. And that's what I see. I think they have plenty of talent, especially a guy like Hilton. I don't know what's going on in his head. And we saw Brian Kelly get after him last week, but I don't know if he's even going to be able to change at this point with only a couple of games left in the season. So it really concerns me. It's one of the number one concerns that I have with this football team on offense, besides the fact that they've been predictable, like I said. And it's the fact that sometimes the wide receivers just seem like they're going to sleep at times.
Big plus for them, certainly with Mason Taylor. I got a lot of respect for him, how he plays the game. He knows how to run routes. He's a big target guy. He's got a little bit of scoot after the catch. He's not got burner by any stretch, but, man, he'll get you some yardage after the catch. My thing is how they use Tre'Davious Green. You don't see him till they get in the red zone. Well, okay, I'm not a rocket scientist, but I know what they're going to do with him at that point. Why wouldn't you use him from 20 to 20? He's still the same guy, right? He's still the big target receiver. Man, Jim,
yeah,
I don't get that.
When you got a third and five, why not? When you got a third and five, where is he? I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly, and I haven't – I mean, that's another thing. It makes you just scratch your head sometimes on what this team is doing. But absolutely, you're talking about big third downs. Now, granted, again, Nussmeier was able to get out of third down a lot last week early in the game, but when we got down towards the end of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter, the predictability killed him. And you're right, where is Green? And I don't know. That's a good question. Somebody needs to ask that.
One of the things with Vanderbilt, they may have the best kicker-punter combination in all of college football. Man, that cat that kicks for them, he's hit 5 50-yard field goals this year. Now, okay, he did miss the one that could have won him a game against Missouri, but that's the life of a kicker. If this game comes down to special teams and punting and kicking, that ain't a check mark on LSU's side of the ball.
No, absolutely, and that's been trouble. That's been big trouble. But we've seen it all over college football, and especially in the SEC. You know, you saw it in today's game. you talk about Ole Miss missed a kick at, what, a 34-yard field goal? They missed, and that could have mattered. You know, you're talking about at the end of the game, maybe they just need a field goal instead of needing a touchdown. So, I don't know. Mike, college football kicking, these guys could kick 60-yarders, and then they can miss a 30-yarder.
you respect so much the NFL game. Of these guys that are kicking 85, 88, 89%. We had Martin Anderson on. He was like, man, I didn't do anything like that. Now I'm in Pro Football's Hall of Fame. Look what Tucker's doing, you know, with the Ravens. And he's had a bit of an off year. And, man, the kicker for the Cowboys, I mean, if that's one bright spot, it's him.
That kind of something different.
Man, so it is a strange kind of overlay to watch the college game and the pro game from a kicking punting standpoint.
You know, to show you how different it is, Mike, and I know you'll probably remember this, but Morton Anderson kicked a 60-yarder against the Bears right before halftime, I don't know, what, 30-plus years ago. And I remember thinking, wow, what a huge deal that was. And now somebody does that, and you're just like, okay, they kicked a 60-yard. I mean, they're kicking 60-yarders, like, in the middle of the first quarter.
That's unreal. Jim, thanks so much for joining me this afternoon. Always appreciate your time and insights, buddy. Thank you.
Anytime, Mike. Enjoy the game.
All right, thank you. That's Jim Derry from Datitude Podcast. We'll be back to finish it off here on our Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show from Acme Oyster House in Baton Rouge.